Praise the Lord. John chapter 15 and verse 18. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. I do appreciate everyone tonight, that all the ministry been taking place. You know, all the beautiful singing and worship and the attitudes. I feel like we've had a good service thus far. I feel like you've really been a minister to each other. And I really appreciate that. Father, I pray for your anointing to be upon me. Lord, I cannot teach tonight without your anointing of your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit, O God. Lord, I pray that you'll fill every heart here with your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you will preach and you will teach and, Lord, you will proclaim your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise God. Here in John chapter 15 and verse 18, we read, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love you. It would love its own. And because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I saith unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." Here Jesus Christ gives us a prophecy that I believe applies to every Christian living on the face of the earth today. We have read of tremendous persecutions in the years gone by. We have read of the prophets who were murdered and persecuted. But it says in the Bible that the ends of the world had come upon the early church of Acts. That all that had happened before then, well, it was incomplete without the last generation of time. The last century of time. And they lived the first half of the last century of this age, 2,000 years ago. Back in Acts, they lived it. They lived 49 to 50 years of that century, and the church was thriving, and God was proclaimed throughout the world. Then there became a great lapse for 1900 and some years, and we are now living out the last half of the first century. We are the generation that was spoken of in Acts, when it said in the last days. And it said that everything that happened so far would not be complete until we do our job. That they died without it being complete, it says in Hebrews. And we're going to complete it. What's been true in the past is even more true now. We're going to see persecution like we've never seen it before. It may not be exactly like we think of persecution being. We need to understand persecution. I don't want to go through any persecution that I don't have to go through, but I praise God that I'm willing to go through whatever I need to go through. Whatever God wants me to go through, whatever has to be because of the way this world is, I pray that God will give me what it takes to go through it. Amen? But we need to understand it, because sometimes we bring persecution on ourselves that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And we need to understand what to look forward to. In Luke 21 and 12, it tells us that we will be brought before the governments, before the rulers, and be persecuted. It says in verse 16 that our family will be embarrassed and they will turn against us and they will condemn us and persecute us. Some of your mothers and fathers will say, "Hey, you're acting kind of weird now. Hey, don't do that. No, don't be a rebel rouser. No, don't be so bold. Keep it down. Keep it quiet. And you will have loved ones persecuting you because you're making a fool out of yourself. If you're doing the Lord's work, you will make a fool out of yourself. Because who's the judge? Who's say you're a fool, the world. We better be a fool in the world. Because if they think we're okay, then something's wrong with us. If I walk into Laverne State Hospital, and I take Amy here with me, and I take Stacy here with me, and we'd all be walking in, and all of them would come around, all our friends in Laverne State Hospital, and say, wow, you're just like we are. You're pretty cool. I'd worry, wouldn't you, Jackie? I'd say, oh, howdy, Stacy. I'd say, wait a minute, guys. Ray, I'd say, wait a minute, birds of a feather flock together, and please don't tell me that I'm like you, wouldn't you? If the world likes you, you got a problem, right? The world likes you, you got a problem. In Matthew 5 and 11, let's turn to Matthew 5 and 11. Praise the Lord. It says, blessed are ye when men will revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. People are going to lie about you. Now, in the past, they didn't have to lie about us. They just tell the truth, we'd be in trouble. But they're going to lie about you, and they're going to say things about you that are not the truth. They're not going to persecute you because you're such a nice Christian. They're not going to say, well, Brother Gary down here has been preaching the Lord, a dear soul, and we don't like him for that. They're going to say, that dirty cheat, that sinner, they're going to lie about you. Being persecuted for Christ's sake doesn't mean that they're going to persecute you because you love God. They didn't persecute Jesus Christ because he loved God. No one stood up and said, this man loves God, let's stone him, let's crucify him because he loves God so much, did they? No one stood up and said, this guy is such a great miracle worker, let's persecute him. No one stood up and said anything nice about him, that he was such a good Christian or such a good follower of God that they persecuted him. They lied about him, didn't they? And we'll talk a little bit about what they persecuted him for in a little bit here. In 2 Timothy 3:12 it says, all that come in the name of Jesus Christ is going to suffer persecution. If you are a true believer, if you're going to do what God wants you to do, and then you're going to be persecuted. Your friends are going to look at you and say, man, you're not hip. Your friends are going to look at you and say, man, you're kind of square. All are going to be persecuted. Jackie, you're going to be persecuted. You know that? You ready for that? They're going to persecute you if you love God and you do what's right. You might as well get used to it. Your old friends is drinking, smoking, and cussing, and running around aren't going to come up to you and say, oh, hi, goody Christian, we like you. They're going to lie about you. They're going to say that you're doing things you're not even doing. 1 Peter 4 and 12 through 16 tells us that we will be persecuted, but make sure we're not persecuted because we're evil. It goes on to say in verse 17 through 19 that judgment will start in the house of the Lord. I believe that God is judging this church right now. I believe that we suffer a lot for our own doing. Things that we do, we suffer for. But that's a purification process. It's a purification process when God comes to you and he puts the fire of tribulation into your life and burns away the wood, the hay, the stubble. Amen? We should not be so disappointed and feel so down in each other when we find that we're being persecuted for our wrongdoing, because that's part of the judgment purifying us. So when the great, tremendous push takes place in this world, we'll be ready for it. There's coming a great falling away. The reason why there's going to be a great falling away is because the church of the living God, scattered throughout the world, is going to be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And there's not going to be darkness and light sitting in the same church. Let me tell you something. This church was a glorious church like God wants it to be. people could not come in here and sit for 6 months with an evil heart. Because the light would be so strong that the darkness would flee from it. I've never seen any darkness hanging around a light that you turn on, have you? Have you ever walked in and put a light on and just flicked it on and all a cloud of darkness is sitting underneath the light? Now with a shade you might get that, right? But if you've got a light bulb there, I've never seen a cloud of darkness hanging underneath the light, have you? I've never seen it. When light comes, darkness flees because darkness cannot stand up with light because it's such a condemning force. If it doesn't yield and be changed, it'll run away. So judgment is going to take place in the house of God. People are going to suffer for the wrong, and so they'll be purged from it so that they can be something that be a testimony for Jesus Christ. But we will suffer persecution. Now, are we going to suffer persecution in relationship to the amount of good we do? If I do 10 things good this week, am I going to have so much persecution? And then next week I'm going to do 20 things good, I'm going to get more persecution. So my persecution will be balanced with how much good I'm doing? No. Jesus Christ in Matthew 2:16 was only 2 years old and he was persecuted for something he would do. He was persecuted long before he ever did anything good. At 2 years old, I would imagine that Jesus was wetting his diaper. Wouldn't you? He wasn't doing anything that demanded persecution. But the world tried to destroy him. They said all babies under 2 years old would be killed before he did anything to deserve it. And we find in Acts 19 and verse 17 and 19 that Paul was just saved. Down at verse 24, we find they're trying to kill him just a few days later. He says many days later, whatever that would be, 30, 40, 50, 60, 80, 90 days later, whatever, they were trying to kill Paul before he even had a chance to do anything good. They had to sneak him out of the city. So your persecution won't necessarily happen after you're already doing something real fantastic. The persecution may begin long before you do anything to deserve it, because the devil knows the potential that lies within your life. Now, how are they going to persecute you? What are they going to say about you? Well, in Mark 2 and verses 15 and 16, Jesus was persecuted because he hung out with sinners. Now, he didn't fellowship with sinners, but Jesus did sit and minister to sinners. How many of you are going to be persecuted because you hang out with people that probably got in trouble with the law? I had a person say to me that it seemed like this church is filled with people that's got a lot of problems. You know, people that's been in trouble with the law, people that's been in bad situations. And they're feeling a little uneasy about that. Well, you know, that's what they said about Jesus. They said, hey, you're hanging around with sinners. You're eating with them. And listen, when we bring people in that are and get them saved, people are going to find out they're in this church, and they're going to put down the church, put down you, because they're in this church. You're going to say, what kind of people you got down there anyway? I've only heard that. Heard that from a dear friend in our friendly courthouse. You know. Well, what kind of people you got down there? People need help. Aren't you glad we're helping you? Amen? Amen? I don't know why they persecute us when we're helping the people they're trying to help, but the way they help them to put them away, the way we help them get them saved. Amen? And minister to them. But they're going to persecute you. They're already persecuting us because of that. What other ways are they going to persecute you? Well, it goes on to Matthew 11:19, and they lied about Jesus, and they said he was a wino. They said Jesus was a wino. They might lie about you, Vince. They might lie about you and say you like girls. You'd be in trouble, wouldn't you? She just hit him, and I said, girls, plural. I mean, girl. Okay? But the point of it is, buddy, they might lie about you and tell you, say, well, that guy's a stealer. That guy's a liar. That guy sneaks around and drinks beer. Whatever. They're not going to say nice things about you and persecute you. They're going to lie because they're not dumb enough to say we don't like him because he's so nice. Right? They're going to say we don't like him because they're going to make up a lie about him. And if you make any mistake at all, you can be guaranteed it's going to be magnified 100 times over. Amen? But they lied about Jesus and said he was a wino. They also said in Mark 3:21 that he was crazy. He was crazy. Ray? They said he was crazy. So if anybody ever calls you crazy, say, well, praise God, I'm in good company. Now, it has been told that Mike Akins is beside himself. Now, I don't know how you get beside yourself, but it has been told that he's a little fruity. Well, we all know that. That's nothing new. But they will say you're nuts if you're serving God. Now, they may not say you're nuts because you're reading the Bible. That's what's behind it. Or going to church. But they're going to lie about you and say you're crazy. That guy is crazy. And they'll tell 4 people, and they'll tell 20 people, and then the 90th person that hears it will believe it. They don't know you, but they're hearing from 20 sources, and they say it must be true. You know? People are going to say things about you. So you might as well get used to it. It's going to happen. If you serve God, the Bible says, all will suffer persecution. And it's not going to be the nice way. We'd like to all be martyrs, maybe. I don't know if I want to be a martyr. But, you know, there's some kind of glory in being a martyr. Oh, you love God so much, you was persecuted. No, they're going to say you were of the devil, and that's why they persecuted you. Didn't they say that about Jesus in Luke 23:5? Well, that's what 23:5 was another scripture. But anyway, they said that he was serving Satan. They're going to say you're a cult, maybe. They're going to say, well, you're serving Satan. They're not going to say nice things about you. Are you ready for that? They're going to say that about your preacher. Aren't you going to be proud to go to church? They say your preacher's crazy, that he's serving Satan. They're going to say things about you. If you've ever done anything wrong, they're going to bring it up, and they're going to make it 10 times bigger than it ever was. And listen, we as Christians had better be ready for that. And I'm going to tell you how to get ready for that in a little bit. But we might as well face it. You know what we do? We'll go around and say, yeah, I don't mind being persecuted for things I do right, but I don't like to be persecuted for things I do wrong. Well, I don't either, but let me tell you something. If you don't do something wrong to get persecuted by, they're going to make it up about you, because the Bible says so. And God called us knowing that we're imperfect. God knew that Peter would be a little bit frisky, cut an ear off or two, didn't he? Peter, I tell you what, he was a hard guy to get on the ball. But God called him anyway, and in the process of getting ready for the ministry, he did a lot of things wrong. He even did things wrong after he went out and cast demons out and did all those nice things. He still did things wrong after that. He even swore. Can you imagine what would happen if Gerald back here, our fine minister, would be downtown and they had Mike Akins up there at the courthouse, and they was getting ready to crucify me. And he was outside, and somebody came up and says, are you one of them? You know what they did to Peter? Are you one of those? Are you following this nut, Mike Akins? And he was standing there next to old Gerald. He'd been with Mike Akins for 3 years. It's been almost 3 years. That's about how Peter was with Jesus. And he started saying, blankety, blank, blank, blank. I don't know what that means, but it's bad. Now that's what Peter did. Wouldn't you just... I bet some of you would go away and say, man, I tell you what, I don't mind Gerald being persecuted for being a Christian, a preacher, but man, he's cussing. And everybody heard him. The other preachers heard him cussing, and the police heard him, and the other churches in town heard him. One of the news people were right next to him, and they took the mic, and they stuck it over, and he was going blank, blank, and it went out over 4 states. Got on CBS. Man, we'd really be upset about that, wouldn't we? Man alive, we'd be upset about that. But let me tell you something. God calls imperfect people to do His work. And we're going to make some real mistakes along the way. And we're going to pay for it. Amen? We're going to pay for it because the devil's going to take it on, put it on a loudspeaker, and let the world know that you made a mistake. But just don't feel too bad about that, because God knew that we weren't going to be perfect all too fast. And God knew that when we're out there preaching the gospel, we might do a few little things that might be talked about. So we're going to be persecuted for the things that we do wrong, and we're going to be persecuted for the things we do right. We're going to be persecuted either way. Now, we should make sure that we don't bring persecution on ourselves carelessly. But when we make a mistake, we don't have to cry in it. We can go on knowing that God called us, knowing us that we're imperfect. And I believe that the disciples, as we read about them and what was being said about them, that those disciples were not the most reputable people around. Did you get that feeling when you read the scriptures? Say they were called ignorant. They were called ignorant. I was called ignorant the other day. I got my feelings hurt. You ever got your feelings hurt? But another chaplain here in town said, well, that guy, he shouldn't be counseling anybody. He don't have a degree. Isn't that terrible? Too ignorant to counsel. Well, you didn't know that, did you? You've been coming to me every week now for about 6 months. Are you getting worse? You know, maybe we haven't committed. You've been here 6 months, you've done it. But you know, Christina, you didn't know that, did you? Man, I tell you, you didn't know that I was too ignorant to counsel you, did you? You know? But you know, they're going to say that you're ignorant. They're going to say that. They're going to persecute you. They're going to say all kinds of things. And they did it to the disciples. They're going to call you jailbirds, maybe. Some of you might even go to jail. But we've got to realize it doesn't make any difference what happens. We're going to have to hang together. One of the first things I would like to say as far as how we're going to make it through the persecution is we're going to have to hang together. A house divided among itself is going to fall down. If we're going to make it through this persecution, let me tell you, we only got a handful of people here who would look around hanging together. If we're going to go out and do the work of God, let me tell you something, we're going to have to hang together. And he said, yeah, but what about the little rascal over there that makes a real mistake? Well, doesn't the Bible say restore that one? Restore that one. We need to hang together even when we make mistakes. What do you mean hang together? Well, I won't let anybody know that I don't like what's going on. No, we better hang together in our heart. We better hang together in our attitude. Hey, listen, isn't what they think that's going to get us through this thing? It's the unity in our spirit that's going to get us through this thing. If we are divided amongst ourselves, if we go outside the four walls and don't let anybody know about it, we say, well, yeah, we all are hanging together. That's not the kind of strength that's going to see us through this spiritual war. What's going to see us through the spiritual war is when in my heart, when I'm at home talking to my wife, when I'm talking about Mary Moore here, that's going to get involved in the Coalition for Abused Children. I forgot to tell you about that. But when she's involved in that, and she's got, maybe she gets in a problem, she makes a mistake, and I don't like the way she handles it, I don't go home to my wife and say, honey, you know, I don't know how in the world we're going to make it, babe, with people like Murray Moore in the bunch. You know? I mean, she fouled up. If they was persecuting her for something she did right, I could see it. But man, she's goofing up. No, that's not unity. That defies us right in the very heart of what we need. We've got to be broken, and we've got to realize she's going to make mistakes, and we're going to pray for her, we're going to teach her, we're going to work with her, and we're going to be united even in the very heart of our relationship, and what we think, how we feel, and what we say. Amen? We've got to be unified. Number two, we're going to have to be careful that Satan does not bring a spirit of bitterness, a spirit of fear within us. It'd be very easy to feel like we don't deserve the persecution that we get. It could be easy for us to take this bitterness out on each other. It could be very easy to get bitter and fearful what's taking place. And that will destroy us. Bitterness will destroy us. Fear will destroy us. Critical attitudes will destroy us. We've got to have the right attitude towards persecution, point three. The Bible said, bless them who persecute you. Now that doesn't mean bless them like the Pope blesses. Bless you, brother. Give you some holy water. That's not the kind of blessing we're talking about. We mean bless them. Do something good to those who persecute you. Tim, I'd like for you to call so-and-so. Well, better not say they get this on tape. Call somebody, well, I won't say it. You know what I'm talking about. And go over and cut their grass. I think that'd be neat. Those who are persecuting us the most, would you go cut the grass? Now, I don't mean cut the flower garden down now. Cut the grass for them. Do something nice to them. Bless them who persecute you. Number four. And I pretty well covered this, but in with being united, we need to encourage each other. We need to encourage each other like we've never encouraged each other before. We need to encourage each other. We are standing up and being counted. We are standing up and being counted. We are getting involved. We're going to get involved with this anti-liquor bill coming in. And I met with a guy from the Quaker Church this morning. And he's going to get together with a guy at the Full Gospel Assembly and together with Bob Ash and a couple others and this Bob Gillespie, whatever his name is, from this crusade. And we're going to get together and we're going to form a coalition and we're going to fight the liquor by the drink coming in the Reno County. Do you realize what's going to happen when people can walk off the street anytime they want to and drink liquor? It's just right there. Every state that's done that has had more crime, more wrecks, more problems, more people getting abused at home, more job loss. And we as Christians need to speak out what God's will is. Don't you believe that? They got mad at us, but we just talking about keeping the kids on Main. You know what else is going to happen? You know? Next thing we're going to do is go out to pornography. I felt very embarrassed when Mr. Pyle downtown said to the news, he said, well, I haven't had any opposition against any pornography here in town. I think I might have got one or two letters in the last 10 years. No wonder they've got it everywhere. McPherson got it wiped out over there. They went in and arrested store owners because they had X-rated videotapes. Because some Christians got together and are making them wrap up the magazines so the kids can't go in. 9-year-olds can go in and look at that. They got to have it covered. A few Christians got excited over there. You say, well, yeah, you know, is it all that bad? Yeah, it's that bad. You know, how many of you would like to have your little 2-year-old girl raped and molested? Anybody at all? Where does that start? It starts from some guy looking at a magazine, at some naked girl or guy or whatever. He gets corrupted and he carries that on to next guy, next guy, next guy, and maybe even 2 generations down, the grandchild rapes somebody. Where did it come from? A rotten mind. It starts there. The Bible says don't even look and see and look and hear about evil. Yeah, we think, well, sex sounds pretty good to me, but it doesn't sound so good when it bothers somebody that you love, right? The devil comes along and he fools us. He says, well, it's okay, it's kind of fun. Not when it gets down to the real end of that sin. You play around with sin, it always ends up getting you. I've seen it now for years and years and years. There's no end to it. We as Christians have got to stand up. And what's going to happen? Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Just because I stood up and was counting some of the things lately, people called down to our headquarters where I got ordained and said and told them down there that I was causing trouble up here. You know, somebody in the juvenile department called down there and said, well, Mike Akins is causing trouble. You know, this church up here is a troublemaker church, man. They got their pictures on TV. You know? And so poor Gerald and Jenner went all the way down around Amarillo to get ordained. And they wouldn't ordain them when they got down there because they heard we got ourselves on TV. And because we were standing up and going to the city commission. And now they're thinking about doing some nice things to me. Who cares? parish. They don't ordain me. God ordains me. And they want to believe some godless juvenile officer instead of believing God. That's up to them. But see, they're going to persecute you. They're going to persecute you. You see? And they're going to get your own friends. Sometimes they're going to look at you and turn against you. You see? So you better decide if you're a Christian or not. You say, well, can I be a Christian without getting so radical? Right, Jerry? Can I be a Christian without getting... Can I just live a simple Christian life? I'd love to tell a secret here. I don't know. I'm looking at Jerry to see if... He's a pretty good guy. He takes things pretty good. You want to hear a secret? Can I tell some things we've been talking about? Just like this, you know, right? Okay. He said, okay, you know, Gerald and Connie have, they're making, $25,000, $35,000, $40,000, counting all the goodies out there at the home. And you know, Jerry's a pretty smart guy. He's got a pretty smart wife. And their future's out there, man. They're going up in the world. And who knows, you might have been president. But he was going places, and he took a job at a little place called Church of the Living God. in the School of the Living God. And their income was up here, and it was now it's down somewhere. I can't find it. But the income fell way, way, way. Having milk and cereal. Do you get any money in the account? And she's getting back. She comes up and says, you got a couple dollars for gas, Boy, I mean, that's embarrassing for them. Coming down from a place that is making pretty good money. Little Jerry, he calls Bob Ash, he's going to work for the public school systems, and he says, well, I decided to pass this job opportunity up. How did you say that? It was pretty good. I laughed a long time after this. He said, I didn't think you paid me enough money. I think that's what he told me. And he says, so I decided to work for nothing. So anyway, he was talking to him, and he says, Mike, he says, I don't know, I'm having a little struggle with this. He says, I've decided this is not a profession, this is a lifestyle. He said, I don't know. I think God's wanted me to say this. I hope I don't get myself in trouble. But he says, why can't I be like Gerald? He said, now Gerald is a nice, good Christian. And he holds a job, regular job. He said, a regular job, then. He's not too radical. He's a nice guy. He comes to church. His wife works in the school. He doesn't have to do what I'm doing. He don't have to get out here and just start and lay it all on the line or whatever. I'm paraphrasing everything he said. But, and he even said some nice things about you, Gerald. But he didn't know why he had to be such a radical, but it seemed like he was kind of even-minded and everything just going pretty easy. Now, he doesn't know how hard it gets, really. But the point of it is that that's what a lot of people think. Right, Ray? So what a lot of people think is, can I just live a nice, good Christian life and work at a job and go ahead and get rich? You go ahead and have some esteem, and can I have a normal life? Can I have a wife at home and little snot-nosed kids running up and saying, "Hi, Daddy, you're home at 4 o'clock," can I sit on your lap, and can't we just go on a river vacations, and can't we get milk when we need milk, and can't we get some tissue paper when we need it, and is there anything wrong with just wanting some deodorant once in a while? I think Naomi said they'd been without for 3 days, We didn't notice it. But that's tough. They're sacrificing. Man, why would you not go out with deodorant for 3 days? I'm not going to, she'll never tell me anything else. Where did Jack go? But anyway, what I'm trying to say is, we are in a battle. And there is no in-between. There's in-between for people right now because the battle is not in full bloom yet. But there's a day coming that says all will suffer persecution unless you take up the cross and follow Christ and die to everything. It's a very radical, fanatical situation. Did you know that? The disciples were really fanatical. All of them were. All the Christians in those days were. They say, are they of the way? Those that follow that way? Is what they said about them. They knew what they was talking about. They called him a sect. The sect. You know what that means? Heresy or cult. That's what they called them in those days. They are the sect. You know, the follow Jesus. They were very radical. Not just emotion, but radical. They were extreme in their approach. They met in the temple daily, it says. How would you all like to go to church every day? Wouldn't that be exciting? Huh, Patty? Wanna go to church every day? But let me tell you something. There's coming a day when the world is gonna fall apart. This economy is gonna have problems. Things are not going to be so good for anybody. The Bible says so, doesn't it? God has given the Christians a chance to get solid before that day, because when the world falls apart, then we're going to have a harvest. Because we're going to be in the right position and with the right kind of strength and knowledge that we can help a lot of people that need help. So there will be persecution. There will be a war going on, and you're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to be a part of it or not? Not everybody maybe is going to have to go without, like some do. But let me tell you something. Everyone is going to have to be willing to. And those who are called to be leaders are going to have to get out there and fight that battle. They go out in front of the sheep. Amen? And youth? The youth are going to have to be strong. As I close, we'll talk about the youth a little bit. You got any secrets you want me to tell? But listen, youth are going to have to be really sharp and really strong. God will bless you with all the gifts and talents. You will be miracle-working youth. But you're going to have to hang together. We're going to have to be a tight group. We're going to have to encourage each other and build each other up. And we're going to have to not be afraid to stand up for what we believe in. You know that? You're going to have to not be afraid to say, no, I don't believe in that. I'm not going to have anything to do with that. There's going to be a line drawn, and it's going to be a sharp line between good and bad. There's not going to be much gray. The lukewarm is going to be spewed out and be lost. Those who are playing around with evil are going to be destroyed, the Bible says. Then once this world starts falling apart, let me tell you something. You can't say, oh, hold the door open, I want in. I thought I could get by being lukewarm, but now that it looks like I can, I guess I want in. No. It's going to be too late for people like that. It's going to be too late. Amen, Gary? It's going to be too late. You better get in where God calls, because you can only come when the Spirit of God calls you. You can't decide to come in after you see how rough it's going to be for people. And hey, tell you what, Jerry, I appreciate you letting me use that example. But I want you to know something. Jerry, he's committed. He is. He's getting more committed every day. He's getting a good taste of what's going on. But let me tell you something. It's worth it. It is worth it. My friends are out there trying to achieve what I already have in my mind and heart. My friends that are making a lot of money and that are trying to do a lot of things would like to have the kind of marriage I have, would like to kind of have the happiness that I have. And they're doing all that they try that they can to achieve it, but they can't do it in the world. And if it takes some sacrifice like it took me, and it's going to take you, and you end up with a family that's really blessed of God, and you're doing what God created you to do, you got a peace of mind, and you're getting a fullness out of life, it's well worth it. Amen? Praise God. But we're going to have to realize there will be persecution. You're going to have to die and give up your reputation. You're going to have to give up your ambition. You're going to have to give up anything in life that you claim is yours. And God says He'll add it all back unto you in this life, but it'll be in His way. Amen? Praise God. Anybody got any questions tonight on the sermon? Any questions or comments?